Edius Perek Ches, Mishnah Base 8:2. There are two separate points in this Mishnah. The first is a testimony from Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava and Rabbi Yehuda Cohen, who refer back to something we discussed at the end of the previous Perek. According to Bartonas and Machlokas here, they're just elaborating on their previous point. We talked about the Cohen who marries a Katana in a rabbinic marriage. We said that in such a rabbinic marriage, the bride, the wife, even though she's not married midoraisa, may eat truma by virtue of the fact that she's married to her husband who's a Kohen, but since the marriage is only rabbinic in nature, the only truma she could eat is rabbinic truma. The question that they're just clarifying here from the previous Mishnah back at the end of the seventh parak is, when does that permission kick in? From what point in the marriage? So they say inside, Heid Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava and Rabbi Yehuda HaKohen al Katana Bas Yisrael. If you have a minor who is not a daughter of a Kohen, Bas Yisrael or Bas Levi for that matter, Shenisas the Kohen, she gets married rabbinically to a Kohen by her mother or her older brother. Shehi Ochelas Petruma, she can then eat Truma in his household, again, rabbinic Truma. Kevan Shenichnas Lechopa, from the moment that she is entered under the chuppah, the bridal canopy, with her husband, Afal Pi Shalom Nivalas, even though they haven't yet slept together, that's not essential. That's not the point at all. That's part one of the Mishnah. Now, part two of the Mishnah is a different point here. We have Rabbi Yossi HaKohen and Rabbi Zechariah ben HaKatzav. HaKatzav is a butcher. And they testify. The point of their testimony here is going to be lost in the details if I don't say it out first. They are testifying that the status of a girl who was held hostage for financial reasons, with respect to the concern that she was molested by her Gentile captors, is the same as if a girl is held captive, just she's kidnapped by Gentiles from and held by them. So the concern here is that a girl or woman who is held captive by Gentiles, they will molest her, and therefore she would then be forbidden to marry a Kohen, because a Kohen may not marry a woman who slept with a non-Jew, whether Baratzon, she agreed to it, or Baones, she didn't agree to it, doesn't matter. And the assumption is that if a Gentile has control over a Jewish girl or woman, they will indeed abuse her, and therefore the assumption is that indeed they did abuse her, therefore she's forbidden to a Kohen, unless we have testimony that confirms that it didn't happen. Someone who witnessed the entire episode and can confirm that indeed nothing happened to this girl. So the particular case of our mission here is a girl who is being held essentially hostage by non-Jews to ensure that her family pays back some loan, okay? And the basic point of the testimony is that she's treated the same way as if she had been just kidnapped and abducted by, like, kidnappers and robbers, pirates, whatever the story is. Now, the actual details here get us kind of off topic. The basic storyline or something is something along these lines, that this family had to take a loan. The Gentiles who lent the money held their daughter hostage. Later on, she ended up essentially marrying into some Kohenic family. And then later on, perhaps even that husband died. It came to light to the family that this episode had happened earlier in her life. The source of that information are people who are not ideal witnesses, but they're kind of witnesses that would be either not acceptable in a court, but acceptable in this context, or that is dubious altogether. So depending, there's a few kashas. One teretz, which would make this easy to read, I'm going to go with that. This is one of Rabbi Kiva Akers' terutzim, is these people who give testimony were the girl's servants themselves, and therefore they have a sort of a vested interest in, you know, backing their woman and sort of maybe covering up for her. That's the concern. So the point is, this family now learns that the girl who had married into their family was, as a child, held hostage to ensure financial payback, and they get the information from her, let's say her servants, these witnesses, and those same witnesses testify that while she was held hostage, they can confirm she was not abused while in the custody of the Gentiles. Nevertheless, the family into which she married essentially wants to be machmir and say, listen, we, now that we know that this happened to you in your youth, we're suspicious and we just don't trust the testimony of these witnesses that nothing happened, and therefore we're machmir, and you can't marry into our family. Meaning, let's say, if her first husband died, let's say we're saying she can't marry, like, you know, now another, a cousin or something in the family. That's the gist of it. And the rabbis then say, no, that's totally ungrounded, there's no logical basis for that chumrah, because either you accept the testimony she was abducted, but then you accept the testimony that she, nothing happened to her, or you say, listen, these witnesses can't be relied upon, and you believe neither the testimony that she was abducted nor that something happened to her. So everything is just, you know, either way, you shouldn't be strict and not allow her to marry into your family. You should accept her in. That's the Mishnah outside, essentially. Inside, the Mishnah says as follows. Again, Hey Rabbi Yossi HaKohen Rabbi Zechariah ben Akatsav al Tinokes, regarding a girl. In modern Hebrew, the word Tinokes means like a baby girl, like, you know, think 1 or 2 years old. But in the Mishnah, Tinok or Tinokes means like a child who's not yet bar bat mitzvah. So Tinokes in this context would be, you know, a girl that's, you know, 8 or 10 years old or something like that. Shehur Hana ba'Ashkelon, she was held hostage, taken as like sort of as a rant, as a like collateral, if you will, in the city of Ashkelon. The significance of Ashkelon is that Ashkelon was essentially a non-Jewish city in the time of the Mishnah, and it's not a place where the Jews had the upper hand. So the assumption is that the Gentiles would act sort of without concern for retribution, for, you know, consequences of mistreating a Jewish captive. V'richakuha b'nei mishpachta, and the members of the family into which she married essentially estranged themselves from her. They distanced her from them. She wouldn't let her marry into the family, or remarry into the family if she, you know, the first time her husband died, to remarry a second time. Ve'edeha me'idinosa, but her witnesses, the very witnesses who testified that she was indeed held hostage as a girl, also testify, osa, regarding her, shelo nistera velo nitma, that it didn't happen that she was held, you know, secluded privately with these Gentiles, and that they also confirm nothing happened to her. They didn't in any way abuse her to make her unfit to marry a Cohen. Amar lahem chachamim, so the rabbis said, im ma'aminim atem shahur hana, okay, if you want to believe the witnesses who, again, they're not the usual kosher witnesses, but you want to believe their testimony that indeed she was held hostage by these Gentile, I'll call them captors. So then, he'eminu gam shenistra, excuse me, he'eminu shalo nistra v'lo nitma. So then you have to believe them also, the same people giving the testimony, believe them also that nothing happened to this girl that would make her forbidden to marry into a Kohanic family. That's like, you know, pesha asar hu pesha hitter, if you remember that idea. That's the idea here. Vim ein atem ma'minin, if you don't want to believe the witnesses, so then fine. If you don't believe that shelo nistra v'lo shelo nitma, that you don't believe that nothing bad happened to her, so then ein ta'minu behurhana, sorry, shehurhana, then you shouldn't believe them either, that she was essentially abducted and held hostage in the first place. In other words, however you slice it, it's not rational and it's not right for you to be strict on this girl and pick and choose what part of the testimony you want to believe, because that chumrah really messes this girl up in an unjust and unreasonable way. Therefore, you shouldn't do it. That's the end of their testimony. Again, the point of the testimony is these rules would apply as a girl who's held for financial reasons, as like a collateral, if you will. It's the same as if she was held just because they took her, because they could take her as kidnappers.